When Marilyn and I went on holiday earlier this year, I found time, as you often do when you're away on holiday, to read scriptures at greater length than you normally do. And I opened up the book of Romans, as some of you in our home group can testify that we've already spoken about. And I found it very difficult to get past verse 1. In chapter 1, I mean, I've read, and many of you have read the book of Romans many times, as I have done, and I kept coming back to this one verse, and I'm echoing, which reads, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. I was continually drawn back, and I went through most of the rest of the book, but still came back to this one particular topic. Paul was dealing with his kingdom identity, especially using that word bond servant. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, he does this in some of his other letters. He does it in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Both he and Timothy declare their identity as bondservants. Other disciples of Jesus also declare the same. James says the same, and Peter says the same. I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, in some countries, and we've got people from all different countries here today, and so you may recognize this, but in some countries, people are required to carry an identity card. Who's from a country like that today? A few, yeah. And these cards, they give your name, your address, your age, all the particular details about who you are. In some cases, they even require you to give your ancestors, as in tribes or in relatives. And yet, when you look at an identity card, much as we see our driving licenses these days, when did cops ever pull you up for a driving license? Yes, sometimes. You show your driving license, just like the identity card, it gives all the peripheral information. The information about you. Does anyone here watch that TV program called The Chase? Oh, phew. It's a good quiz game. It's a good quiz game. And right at the beginning of the program, the compere, Bradley Walsh, he asks the contestants in the quiz game to introduce themselves. And they then start individually introducing, my name is Joe Blow, I am 51 years of age, and I'm an electrician, and I come from Manchester, wherever it might be. And so they go through this, but just as the information on an identity card still only portrays to those watching and listening the peripheral, if you understand what I'm saying. It's information that touches on the surface and does not declare who the real person is. You see, all these identifying traits, like your, I'm sorry, pick on you, teacher, electrician, salesman, whatever they are, your height, your ethnicity, and everything else that we generally tell people. All these things are a result of who we really are. They are the result of who we are deep inside us. The identity that's deeply ingrained in our innermost being is the true identity. Is our true identity as a person. And it determines everything else. determines what we do, how we act, and so on. And so, as we look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, if you have your Bibles, nothing to display on the screen. You've heard me read the verse. I'll read it once again. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. So as we look at Romans 1:1, where Paul declares his true identity, a bondservant, let's see if at the beginning of a new year, let's see if we can take something on board for our own lives. Let's see if we can glean something from this and perhaps transplant something, if you like, into our own hearts and our own lives. And just like Paul and Timothy and Peter and hundreds of other men of God that we read about in the Bible. Let's initially then try to understand some of the details of servanthood. In some translations, they just use the word servant. And that's a little sad because it doesn't give us a true idea of the difference between a bondservant and a servant. The Greek word that we use for bondservant is doulos, which means exactly that, bondservant. And its concept in our society, in Western society, seems a little strange. We like to think that we are free people. And we sometimes cringe when we talk about servanthood and slavery and so on, because our society is totally different. But Paul, we all know, was a Jew with a vast religious education, and through his learning at the feet of Gamaliel, the teacher, he was an expert in Old Testament, in the Old Testament, and the cultures in which it was set in and recorded. And just how servants and slaves were everyday part of the Jewish life. We still cringe in our society when we talk about slavery. But now, of course, when Paul's writing this letter, he's now living in a Roman society, which in many cases is just the same. Servanthood, slaves, and so on. Both Jewish and Roman concepts of servanthood lie in direct contrast to the way we live today. So let's look first of all at the Old Testament practice. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. Just follow it along if you can, the best way you can, because I'm not going to read all those verses. I'm going to tell you the story or give you the crux of what it talks about. If we look at that passage, these verses describe what was common practice in the law. If a Hebrew purchased a servant, the servant would serve for 6 years. So I'm looking for a servant, and if I purchase one of you and you are married, then you'll come with your wife, and if you have any children, you'll come with your children. And then after 6 years, if you are married before I purchase you and you want to leave in the 7th year, you're free to go. Now, if I purchase you and you are a single man, and during that 6-year period I provide you with a wife and you have children, and after 6 years you decide to go because I provided you with your wife and your wife and children and so on, they stay with me and you can go off on your own. Now, if after 6 years the servant says to the master, "Thank you, I've got a wife and a child, I love my wife, I love my children, and master, I love you, and I want to stay." Wow. This is something so different. So different to what we think about. And if this is the case, the master takes the servant before the judges, and an open declaration of the servant's intentions are sealed by, you ready, Randall? Are sealed by piercing the servant's ear with an awl. Let's have a look at that. That's an awl. Now let's look at the ear, please, Randall. See the hole in the bottom of the ear? The awl is put on the lobe of the ear and hammered through. A little more painful than when you get your ears pierced these days. And it leaves a big hole. That is a mark for the rest of his life. That mark tells everybody that sees him that he is dedicated and devoted to serving that master for the rest of his life. He has become a bondservant. He was a servant, and now he has become a bondservant. He has chosen to serve that master until death. And he will forever wear that mark, the mark of his master. And he accomplishes his master's will. Not what he wants to do. He accomplishes his master's will. Oh, that's such a precious thing, because not only does he love the master and want to serve the master, but the master loves him. There are no loose ends, no frustrations, no indecision. For that bond servant, eternity is marked out. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we sang that song today, Kenneth, forever. God is with us forever, because that's the picture that's painted in that passage. The master and his servant together forever. And it's due, again, another song that we sang, it's due because of the amazing love of God, the amazing love of the master to his servant and the servant to his master. Oh, so good. In the New Testament, there are many who identify with that same term, bondservant. I've mentioned Timothy and James and Peter already, and Paul. But you know, the one person in the New Testament that typifies servanthood above everyone else, the one example that we can look to is Jesus himself. Many times, and we've heard this preached many or spoken about many times, when you look at the disciples of Jesus, they were always, well not always, but often trying to get one up on each other. You know, well there's a passage in Mark, in Mark 10, 35 to 45, if you want to turn to that, where James and John are asking Jesus, let us sit with you at your right hand and the others on and one of us on the right and one of, and the other on the left. Can we do that? They said. And Jesus replied to them, can you drink of the same cup as me? They immediately answered, yes, of course we can. They wanted the prime position right next to Jesus. And when they said yes, of course, all the other disciples got a bit angry, distressed, upset. And so Jesus comes out with this gem, this real gem. He says, don't be like the rulers, that is Roman rulers, they're living in Roman times, of course, who lord it over the Gentiles. If you want to be great, learn to be a servant, a slave toward others. After all, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And here's the good part. And to give his life as a ransom for many. I hope you got that. to give his life. This servanthood that Jesus is trying to portray to his disciples isn't just a short-term thing. It is for life. He's given his life. It's an eternal thing. Just like the servant that was decided to stay with his master to become a bondservant, not just a short-term one-off 6 years of service. No, for life, for eternity. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul says this in talking about imitating Christ. He says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant." And that should be bond servant there. "Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself," as bondservants do. "He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." When we look at the details of our kingdom identity, your kingdom identity, my kingdom identity, who are we deep within? In our innermost being, in our soul. Who are you? Who am I? Do we serve? And if we do, what master do we serve? There are many parts to that answer, of course. But no matter how we approach it, the answer always comes back to Jesus. Paul and others said, when we look at our scripture today and the others that I mentioned, they all say, bondservant of Jesus Christ. Let's look at a few aspects regarding who and how we serve. Particularly good, because we've got a theme for next year. Thanks for bringing that theme up about, and the prayer for next year as well. Past year, next year. Marilyn and I recently visited our son in London. He lives in Mayfair. Oh, you think, oh, great, that's a nice place to live. It's in amongst all the rich people. He's not rich. He lives in a one-bedroom apartment, which is subsidised by the police, because he's a policeman. He has to live there because it's on the work patch that he's got. So he lives in amongst all of these rich people. And you can walk past these houses in Mayfair and along Regent Street and Oxford Street, and you can see all these nice, fancy houses with obviously rich people living there. Has anyone ever seen the old series Upstairs, Downstairs? Yeah? It reminds you of the property that was portrayed in that TV program, where the family has all these servants, the cooks and the waiters and everything like that. That's the picture. Now, I have a little story to tell you about life in one of those places. When the head of the house in one of those rich houses wants to take on a new staff member, they usually conduct a serious interview. One such interview went like this. The question was put to the applicant, "Can you serve company?" Now, some of you don't know what company means, but what the question meant was, are you comfortable serving all classes of people when they visit to the house? Are you comfortable serving company? Whoopee. To which the applicant said, Yes, mum, both ways. The employer was puzzled and asked, "What do you mean, both ways?" "Well, mum, I can serve them in a way that they will come back again, and I can serve them in a way that they won't." Jesus said, be a servant to all. In other words, only to those that you want to come back. Be a servant to all. Then he gave himself as an example for his followers to identify with eternity. It's interesting to note that many houses around the Mayfair area and other parts of London, particularly those where the royals live, that there are some bond servants still around. I mean, the television series that you see upstairs, downstairs, was maybe 80 years ago or whatever it was. But there are still bond servants in these places today. That is, they serve one master till the day they die. Only occasionally do they take on short-term staff, a servant. One serves a master, the bond servant serves the master, while the servant serves for other reasons. Maybe we should look at some of the other reasons that someone serves. The short-term people I'm talking about. In our society, money is a big thing. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't need money and that or that it's not important to have it. But sometimes I think we allow it to become our master to the detriment of our kingdom identity. Prestige can be your master. Goes along with pride, that one. I know some people who constantly look down on other people. You know the sort of person I'm talking about? I'm too good for that. Clean toilets? Me? Oh, no way. Thankfully, in this church, we've got lots of bond servants. We've just had a group of them leading us in worship. I think we should stop right now and give them a hand, don't you? Thanks, Kenneth. Thanks, team. I'm not going to name any of the others, but you know who you are. They are serving the Master, bond servants in our church, and I praise the Lord for all of you. Because week after week, you, without wanting any recognition, you do what you've got to do because you're serving the King. And we can all think of many other masters. It doesn't take too much thought about who's our master. We sometimes disguise out who our master is and then pretend we're a bond servant. We get found out though, don't we? You know how you can tell how you get found out that you're not a bond servant? Because you quit. You quit. You quit after a month, after 6 months, after three years, whatever it might be. Whereas the bond servant is there for life. Like the slave who decided to stay with his master, like Paul in Romans 1:1, and like Joshua in the book bearing his name, the choice it was made. Joshua said, most of us have already heard that those verses, but I'll read them to you, because Joshua said this: now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, worship beyond the river in Egypt, that is, those other masters in our lives, along with the money and the prestige and the things such as your home, your vehicles, your wife, your husband, your possessions, and serve the Lord. Here's the crunch. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, no one's suggesting that you don't have to have homes or transports or money or anything like that. No one's suggesting that you go and divorce your wife and put your kids in an orphanage. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not being a bondservant. That's not what it's all about. It's all about your kingdom identity. What your innermost being has deeply ingrained within your soul. The choice to put Jesus Christ first. If we go home with no other thought today, you and I have a choice to do that. When we have chosen to serve Christ as our number one objective, we are a bondservant. Let me conclude with a story about a man that started one of the biggest business corporations in the world. It begins with Dr. Chiswell, pastor of the largest Southern Baptist church in the world. He went to preach at the North Shore Baptist Church in Chicago. Afterwards, he was given hospitality in the home of a deacon in the church named James L. Kraft, founder of Kraft Foods. Kraft said that as a young man, he had a desire to be the most famous manufacturer and salesman of cheese in the world. He planned on becoming rich and famous by selling cheese and began as a young fellow with his little buggy pulled along by a little donkey named Paddy. And he went round the streets trying to sell his cheese. He made it, prepared it, went round to try and sell it. After a few months, hopeless. It was absolutely hopeless. And one day he pulled his pony to a stop and he began to talk to him. Talk to the pony. Someone else did that, didn't they? He talked to a horse, a pony. And he said, "Paddy, there is something wrong. We are not doing it right. I am afraid we have things turned around the wrong way. Our priorities are all wrong. Maybe, in fact, not maybe, we should serve God first. Put him in first place." Kraft then drove home, made a covenant that for the rest of his life he would serve God and then would work as God directed. Later on, he became a bondservant, in other words. Later on, this Criswell, the pastor from the big church, heard Kraft say, "I would rather be a layman or a bondservant in the North Shore Baptist Church than to head the greatest corporation in America. My first job is serving Jesus." Now, we're not told the exact moment that Paul made that decision to become a bondservant. Although if you read his account, his Damascus Road account, you'll probably find it somewhere in there. But it doesn't specifically say that he suddenly became a bondservant. Certainly, Joshua made a specific declaration. "From now on, me and my family are going to serve the Lord." And as for James Kraft, well, he went through some challenging times before he made his choice. All those people took on the kingdom identity that is eternal. And as we close today, I'm going to pray very shortly. In fact, I'm going to pray now. I simply ask you the one question as we close. Do you have a kingdom identity? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray for all of us today. As we look at ourselves and our relationship with Jesus, that we would crave and desire above all to have the identity of a bondservant, one who serves you and serves for eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.